Good afternoon, good morning, and good night to all my listeners out there. It's been a really long time, but we're back over here with a podcast that makes you change and realize. And often on this podcast, we discuss authentic issues with authentic voices by Zimbabweans, for Zimbabweans, but for the world at the end of the day. These conversations are meant to empower and inspire. And I am honored and privileged to have the brilliant guest, the host with the most, one of the most intelligent and intellectual therapists out there, one of the leading change makers and thought leaders on psychology and mental wellness in Zimbabwe right now at the moment, the lovely Zelda Williams. Zelda, what would you like to say to the people this morning?
Hi, everyone. How are you doing? I am Zelda. I am a peer counselor. I'm not a therapist. But yeah, I really do advocate for mental well-being, young people in specific. I have an initiative and everything. We're going to dive into that a bit later on. But I'm so glad to be here. It's such an honor. I never thought I'd be doing a podcast. It's my first time. So I'm pretty honored.
That's amazing, Zelda. You know, Tony Robbins always says, the way to find better answers is by asking better questions, you know, being more authentic, being more real, asking broader questions to get more broad results. So what would you like to say about yourself as a person, though? I mean, there's so many girls out there that would be more focused on makeup and boys, but what made you choose to have the whole mentality of Ubuntu, believing in empowering more people more than you empower yourself? What even makes Zelda Zelda?
That's a very broad question, but I think it's something that should be really addressed. It all started when I was proclaimed head girl of my high school in 2021. I went through like a spiral. I was like, no, I don't deserve this. I don't think I should have the spot. But then again, like 10% of me was wondering why I was thinking that way. And I remember from that moment thereon, I always told myself that if I was going through something similar and, you know, I was having all these overwhelming feelings, there's definitely someone else who's going through what I'm going through. It could be even worse than what I was going through or even minimal, but it was the fact that I was going through that and knowing that someone else was going through that as well. It made me change my perspective on mental well-being and mental health as a general aspect. Because of that, I decided to actually major in psychology because I wanted to touch more lives more than just the mental part of it, which is mostly the important part, but also touch on other aspects that are really not looked at in particular. So fast forward, I applied to my university, got my degree. I'm getting it as I speak. But then another life-changing experience happened as well, where I was on campus. It was 10 p.m. at night. I found myself walking and I was going through the most heartbreaking event ever, and I had no one to talk to, like literally no one to talk to. And I was like, wow, I am going through this again, and what are the chances that someone else in the same time that I am crying here is going through what I'm going through as well? I woke up at an epiphany and I decided to have this initiative. I rocketed it January 2024 till today. I have peer counseling sessions. I got my qualifications. I speak to students, empower them, and hopefully get them to see the other side of life that they probably think does not exist. So that in a nutshell basically sums up who I see myself to be. I am very emotionally intelligent. I believe that a healthy mind is a healthy person. And it's such an unfortunate thing that a lot of people just view being healthy physically when it actually encompasses a whole lot of things emotionally, mentally, and cognitively as a nutshell. So I really, really strive for people to tap into their mental health, exercise healthy habits for your mental state, the same way you ensure you don't break a leg because, you know, physical health is important as well. Your mental health should be important as well. I love making friends. I love talking to people. I was very introverted. I still am, but I am tapping into my extroverted side because I realized that you can't be a counselor and you don't want to talk to people. So I'm very, more of an ambivert as we speak. But yeah, I am driven by my passion in helping young people in specific to tap into their mental health, as I said earlier, and to actually make it an important thing about themselves Yeah, I think that's me in a nutshell, basically. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That is beautiful. That was like the Picasso of podcasts right there. I mean, where's Gordon Ramsay? Because I see a chef right here. You're just cooking right now. You're cooking right now. But since we got you here and we don't get to have these conversations often, what would you like to say is some tips that you would like to give on being more emotionally intelligent? Because, you know, especially in the Zimbabwean context, we all, you know, have the iconic black parents, you know, and you're like, oh, they're not emotionally intelligent. Then you got the heartbreak issues, like, oh, men are not emotionally intelligent. So how can we really facilitate more emotional intelligence in our diverse communities and societies in Zimbabwe?
That's a very good question. I think that's something that needs to be addressed, like, very, very, on a very serious note. I think the first thing is being open with yourself and being open with everyone in your environment. I'll use a very good example. My communication with my mother before I came to university was not the best, in the sense that I'm the eldest daughter. She views me as her partner in being a parent. I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't blame her, because I lost my dad 4 years ago. So parenting herself is already overwhelming. Now I'm the eldest daughter. She also expects me to be a mother to my siblings. Did I like it? No. Do I like it still? Not really. But I made it a mandate that I was going to have better communication with her, simply because, one, the distance, and secondly, I was not okay with the situation that she had automatically put me in, where I have to grab my kids. See, I even call them my kids. No. I have to grab my siblings from school. I have to do shopping. I literally have to do a grocery list. She just gives me the money. She's like, take a look into the pantry, see what's not there, make the list, go get the food, prepare the food, feed these children, make sure they're bathed. You know, you're basically being a parent to your own siblings, and I didn't like that. But I told myself that the only way that she can actually know what I'm feeling is if I do talk to her. It's that simple. So I was open with myself, where I identified that I do not like this thing. How should I change it? I talked to her. I went to her and expressed how I was feeling. She took it in. Very good thing that she's also very emotionally intelligent. We found ways where we could meet in the middle, where we're like finding strategies to help each other out, because she also needed me at the end of the day. So being open with yourself and being open with the people in your environment is very crucial, because it opens up your eyes to actually see that, no, I'm not okay, or I don't like this, or I need to change this. And then you find strategies to change that. So if you're going through multiple days or multiple periods of time where you're constantly low in energy, you don't want to speak to your friends, and you don't have energy to do work, you don't have energy to do school, sit down with yourself and say, okay, am I okay? Okay, no, I'm not okay. What should I do about it? That's the second point. When you've identified that you're not okay, the most important thing after that is actually finding ways to be okay. I was speaking to a client the other time, and they basically were being comfortable in their not okayness, and that is not enough. You identifying that I'm not okay in this particular state, or I could do better in this, and then you just sit and you're okay with that, that's not good, because what you're doing is you are making it a norm to just be low in energy, not wanting to talk, not wanting to be social. You're making it a norm. So identify strategies, and you can only identify strategies if you acknowledge that you're not okay. Your environment is very crucial as well. Surround yourself with people that will actually help you to make these strategies to your reality. You know, if you find that you need to perhaps maybe take more walks more often, grab yourself a friend who will encourage you to take those more walks often. If you feel like you need to start a new hobby, grab a friend or maybe another person who wants to pursue the same hobby as you. Do the hobby together. It's all about changing your mindset and changing the behavior at the end of the day.
Mm. That's sensational. Just wow. Because at the end of the day, communication is the basis of life. And the biggest problems that we have come from a lack of communication, this miscommunication that we have internally and externally. So we really have to work on our intra and our interpersonal relationships. I mean, what would you say to the iconic teenage problem, you know, the two demons always battling us, anxiety and depression? What would you like say to people that want to overcome those? Because there are some days where you just don't want to get out of bed. There's some weeks where it can be a whole period where you just don't know how to feel happy. I've had so many people come up to me like, Wenashi, I really don't even know what happiness is anymore, you know. And that's the thing about depression, you know, it takes away all the happy memories that you ever used to have. So, and anxiety is like 10 times worse. It's like a mosquito always just around you, just bugging you. So as you as a licensed professional, how would you help these teenagers going through these issues?
Another very great question. Tapping back into your environment as well. You know, your friends can only do so much, and you can only help yourself so much. That's why the good news is we have licensed people that are ready to assist you all the time. Okay, look, I'm not being biased or anything, but genuinely speaking, you have more counselors than you think you know. There's so many people in your environment, in your vicinity, waiting to help you. If you're in an institution where you have a counselor there, visit the counselor, see what they have to offer, see how they can help you as well. The good thing is also, if a counselor is much of a, maybe something, someone who is a bit intimidating for you, they are slowly becoming numerous peer counselors that are just there to help you as well. The good thing about peer counseling is you are talking to a friend, someone who can really relate to you, because we are humans as much as you are as well. So if you come to us and you tell us, no, I've been feeling quite anxious recently, I can relate to that, because there are episodes where I feel anxious as well. So it's all a matter of having an environment that is supportive. Go see a counselor if you need to see a counselor. Go to therapy if you need the therapy. Accepting help is another form of emotional intelligence, because it shows that you can't, you know, you can't really battle the battles yourself. You're accepting help, and I think that's a very commendable thing to do for a teenager, to finally accept that, you know, I can't do this alone. You know, I need the help. Where in instances where you tell yourself, I haven't seen happiness in a very long time, I've tried, but have you tried seeing what another perspective could probably offer you? Someone who is actually licensed, someone who's been studying this years and years. Give it a try, and I'm pretty sure the results are always commendable.
You're so right. So what about those that can't afford, you know, the services? Because most of the people who are doing this are literally students, you know. We're trying to find our next dollar to get a pork pie to not starve from dinner. So how do we, you know, make therapeutic services more accessible and available? How do we do that?
I've been thinking about that recently, actually, because it's something that also bothers my mind. You know, you're in Harare, you go to a psychologist, you go to a therapist, they're telling you $30 per hour, and you're thinking, I'm a student, how am I gonna get these services? But I really need the help. I've been thinking lately, if we could have some sort of, maybe in our educational courses, or like when we're getting our education or whatever, if we could have some sort of more of like an intervention on getting students to be equipped with these strategies that they need. A very good example is, in most educational institutions, they have first aid lessons offered to students, you know. A very good example here is they want to initiate first aid lessons for sub-wardens. So when students in the hostels have problems, physical health problems, the sub-wardens are the first call, and they can exercise that first aid on the students. I was thinking perhaps if we could have something similar, where we are having courses or short lessons where we talk to the students at free cost and tell them that it's okay if you're going through this, how do I handle this, how do you handle this, you could try this, you know. That way you actually get to the real people that are having real problems quicker. with no cost. That's something I was thinking about, you know, just in my head. But I also think behavior is very important. I was a person who thought very negatively about myself for a very long time. Mm. I was very pessimistic. And I brought myself out of that literally by changing my behavior. That just as simple as that. So you're laying in bed and you tell yourself, I do not want to get out of bed. But you know you have to change your behavior. Sounds easier said than, it's easier said than done. But that's the first step. I feel like that's the easiest thing you can do. Change your behavior and change your perspective. So you tell yourself this is, you just feel like, oh, today is just going to be a bad day. How do you know today is going to be a bad day? Change your behavior. Change how you think. Get out of bed. The sun is shining today. Take it in. Oh, wow. The sun is actually shining a bit brighter today. You're changing the way you think already. You're changing the way you see the world. That way, your behavior, you train your mind and you train your brain how to think, how you want it to think. That's also a very beautiful thing. Another very beautiful thing. We underestimate the power we have with our brain. People think you wake up and you have these negative thoughts in your brain, but you know you're the same person who's able to change those negatives into positives. Mm. It's something that people really sleep on. And I want teenagers, young women and men to tap into that power that you have. You can tell your mind to stop thinking the way it is and make it think the way you want it to. So behavior and perspective, I think, is something you can definitely start on. But on a bigger realm, I think our educational system needs to change as well and cater for these things.
You're so right about that. You're so right. I mean, I would be the first to sign up for mental first aid, literally, if it ever becomes a possibility. Mm-hmm. Because what if someone's literally on the brink of a mental breakdown and you have no idea, you're just like, you need water, you know, like, you need some air, need some space? Nah.
That's so true,
yeah. We need to find better ways to deal with this. What's your stance on, like, emotional and childhood trauma? Because there's a lot of people out there going through sexual trauma and they feel like they have to be asexual. You know, people going through childhood trauma and it's just like eating at them every single day. You know, the inner child is the most broken thing ever within them. And how do we actively, you know, work towards these steps of healing that inner child? Let's say I was molested at a young age. Let's say I was involved in a terrible accident. I come from a separated family, you know, where now I have to have different siblings out of nowhere, stepbrother, stepsister. How do I cope with my parents not even loving me as a child? You know, how do I now grow into that as an adult and now I'm in the real world? Because I know I can't really function as an adult if I don't heal that inner child.
True.
So what can I really do to heal that inner child?
I'm just recalling there is this guy in psychology, his name is Sigmund Freud. He developed a theory called the psychoanalysis theory, where he literally focuses on childhood experiences and uncovering that trauma. And basically what Freud believes, or what he believed in, was for one to function to the full, to their full capacity and maximum capacity, they have to tap into their unconscious mind, because that's where your childhood traumas lay. So if you look at the picture of a brain, the unconscious mind is somewhere in the brain there. But basically, that's where your childhood experiences, good and bad, that's where they lay. So Freud believed that for one to be the great person they are intended to be, they can only become that by tapping into their unconscious mind, where childhood experiences lay. And he believed greatly in exploring these traumas. Now, how did he talk about that? How one can actually unravel these traumatic experiences. It's almost as if we're singing the same song, but he emphasizes on actually voicing them out, talking about them. Now, I appreciate that, because it's one thing remembering and it's another thing saying it out loud. So you can sit there and remember, my mom used to beat me a lot, unnecessarily, when I was young. But it's another thing sitting down with either a friend or a trained professional, anyone, and saying, do you know that when I was six, my mom used to beat me a lot unnecessarily, and it affected me this way, this way, this way. Now, the brain is also a very an amazing thing, an amazing organ, because the moment you voice it out, one, you're letting it out, and two, your brain is actually unraveling that unconscious mind. You saying it, you're now remembering other things that could have happened. And the beauty about that is the more you let out, the less is in your brain. Mm. So I definitely believe and I agree with Freud that you need to tap into your unconscious mind and actually voice these things out. It sounds so simple and so probably unnecessary, but I think it's an important thing, because the moment you acknowledge it by saying it, like literally uttering it, you are removing it from your head. Now you walk around lighter, because you know you told someone that I was molested or I was abused physically when I was young, and that way you probably don't have much shame, because you know you told someone, because a lot of things that happened in our childhood, they're associated with so much shame, especially if it's very cruel things like molestation and sexual violence, physical violence. Mm. You walk around with shame, but the fact that you get a bit of, you know, relief that you sat down with someone, you said these things, and you actually said it to someone. That way, you're tapping. Not only are you tapping into your unconscious mind, you're actually accepting it. And with acceptance comes healing. Mm. That's what I think.
Wow. Mm-hmm. With acceptance comes healing. Mm. I never thought like voicing it out, you know, would like really work, because you feel like suppress is often the way, but it's not suppress, it should be address, you know? Suppress. Yeah. So, but what is your perspective when it comes to like grieving and death, though? Because we have a lot of people that experience childhood trauma in the sense that they lost their fathers, their mothers, close guardians or family members at a very young age, you know. I mean, how do you cope with that grieving, though? Because some people just still walk around with that luggage still upon them. And our job isn't to, you know, judge the size of the luggage, but help unpack it. So how do we deal with death and grieving? Because imagine you got assignments on assignments. You can't focus on your feelings, you know. Like, how do you address that?
Oh, very lovely question. My father passed away 4 years ago. Mm. I was 17. I was 17. My younger brother, who's the youngest amongst the four of us, he was 9 when he lost his dad. My brother was 9 when he lost his father. He's, his biggest, you know, inspiration was gone at 9. And I think about that boy every single day. I wonder how I can help him to grieve, because trust me, I know he is. Now, grief is very heavy, because if you lose someone at a very tender age of 9, 10, 7, not only do you feel like you are losing the little memories that you remember of them, you also feel like your grief is not as important as someone else's grief. So I sat down with my brother the other time and I asked him, how are you? I literally just asked him, how are you? This was about a week after my dad's funeral. And I asked him, how are you? He's like, I don't know. I feel like whatever I'm feeling, he's also very emotionally intelligent, because the way he was speaking was so crazy. He's like, I feel like what I'm feeling does not matter, because I didn't know dad for a long time. And then he gave an example where he's like, you can't expect me to cry as much as mom is crying, because she has had more years with dad than I have. And I validated him and I told him, your grief is still important, dude. Like, your grief is grief. I'm grieving, you are grieving. It shouldn't be any different. So that's the first thing. Grief, I don't think grief is a bad thing. I think grief is actually love that is gone in another way, in another route. You know, if you love someone, you're with them, you literally direct your love to them straight ahead. But with grief is you can't direct love straight ahead anymore, so instead you grieve. And every time I have feelings of remembering my dad or anything of that sort, I just tell myself, this is the love that I could have been giving him now, but I can't. So I'm also very optimistic. So I always view the things society or people could probably see as negative as positives. That's why I heavily say with so much confidence that grief is just love that I can't give to the person right now. That I also get so much peace when I remember my dad in a very random moment. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking of him right now. I can't give him the love, but I still have it for him. So I reassured my brother and I told him that grief that you think is not as important compared to any of us is still important, because it's love that you know you could have given your father, but you can't. And ever since I had that conversation with him, he's been slowly just understanding it more and more with also age. It's also something I hope people could probably see from like my perspective as well, because I understand the pain of losing someone very dear to you. It could be very depressing and everything. But if you could see it as love that you can't give to that individual, it gives you so much peace. It gives you acceptance as well. I'm not saying that there are moments where you don't want to get out of bed. Trust me, I'm not saying all of that because I've gone through it. But the moment you go through those five stages of grief and you finally just take it in as acceptance, find strategies to move forward, it's the best thing. It's the best way you could ever view it, really.
I'm speechless, man. Just, man, that's like some of the deepest stuff I've ever heard. Like, what really touched me was when you said that grief is just love that I can't give to the person right now. I know for the sake of like patient doctor confidentiality, can't, you know, tell us all the stories of, you know, the people that you've interacted with, but what are like two, maybe three success stories that you've had with some of your clients where you're like, this person came in like a monster, and then, you know, in the future, now we would turn into a superhero, you know? How'd you do it, you know? I want to know the whole journey, how'd it go down? Oh, like, look at how you're smiling just thinking about it. That's adorable. No, man,
I am. See, the thing is, my initiative is very young. I started in January this year, so it's only about 10 months old. And obviously, when you start an initiative like this, there's a lot of skepticism from people, like, oh, counseling, what you mean counseling? But I'm very happy from the handful of clients that I've had. There's been quite a number of successful stories, actually. One of them was this individual. She came here because she didn't have any friends whatsoever. And she didn't know what to do. She was really hopeless. She didn't know how to approach her situation of not having literally any friends. She would spend all her time alone, go to school alone, go to the library alone, spend time alone. And I asked her what she thought she could do. Now, the funny thing is, when clients come sit in the chair, they always assume you have the answers, which is it's a very wrong idea of counseling. We don't have the answers. The answers are within you. All we do is bring out the torch, the light, to actually help you see the answers within yourselves. So you could see the disappointment on her face when I told her that I don't have the answers. I don't know what to tell you. What we're going to do is we're going to help each other to see what you think could help. So that's exactly what we did. My journey with her was basically me trying to give her that light, open her up together with her and see the things she could probably implement into her day-to-day living. She told me she loves talking about books. She loves reading. And I told her, go talk to your roommates and see if either of them love reading. She went to talk to her roommates. One of them loves reading. They started reading books together, going to the library together, fictional, non-fictional. They're friends till today. And from that, they have also gone through the same process of finding people that have the same hobbies as them. Now they're about 3-4 in their friend group. And it's flourishing, and it's something she never thought of. but she knew she could have implemented, which is an example, a great example of, I don't have the answers. I'm just here to help you, you know? So that's one of them. And every time I think about her, I just smile because she came so hopeless. But if you see her now on campus, she's so happy. She's so content. She's very joyful. I think that's one of them, because she was one of my first few clients. So she watched me grow as a peer counselor. I watched her grow as my first client as well. I hold her very deeply to my heart. With the rest, it's a work in progress. But I appreciate that. I love journeys that take time, because it shows you also, you know, someone who's complex, and, you know, we're unraveling them slowly and slowly and slowly. But that one, I hold that one very dear to my heart, because she never thought she could do it, and she did.
Wow, man. Like, she wasn't just growing, she's glowing now, man. That's glowing and everything. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you say when it comes to, like, making friends? Because I feel like university magnifies who you are, which can be in the negative or the positive. You know, you can find the really crazy broskies out there, or you can find, you know, some amazing people that can really help you expand. So let's say I just got on campus and I'm shaking, I'm insecure, I'm worse even an international, you know, how can I find my great community? How can I even find friends? Because it's so easy to get into that sleep, eat, read, repeat energy. How do you get into that? So now that we're about to wrap up, what would you say is your last piece of advice to all the lovely ladies and gentlemen listening right now? You know, because life can get really hard, but we do need more counseling to help us, you know, expand, discover, explore, and conquer the demons within us. So what's one piece of advice that you want to give everyone before we close off today?
There is the definition of Ubuntu. I'm going to paraphrase. It says, we are because I am because we are. You need people. You can't do it alone. In every aspect, you can't work alone. You can't be yourself without the next person. People define each other, especially in the African culture. We thrive when we're together. So don't isolate yourself. Go out there, meet people, learn from people. I love learning. You can never not learn from the next person. Take something from every conversation. Every conversation you have with someone, no matter how random it is, learn something from that. Take it in the good, you take it in the bad, you take it away. Don't be afraid to become the person you really are. Find yourself, become the person you're supposed to be. Yeah.
That is extraordinary. You know, I feel like maturity is all about a process of, you know, seeing the amazing aspects of everyone around you and saying, oh, wow, how can I adopt that in my life? But also, how can I negate the negative in my life? You know, because everyone has their own weaknesses and addictions. But, you know, we're not defined by the darkness in our lives, but we're defined by how we choose to spread the light regardless. So I had a sensational time on this podcast, Zelda. Like, this was amazing, Zelda. We might have a part two. Like, guys, we might have a part two. Literally, it's up to you guys in the listening. So, yeah, this has been your host, Menashe Jimbe, on the Change and Realize podcast, joined by the lovely Zelda Williams and her Tara and Nini initiative. And, guys, please don't forget, mental health and mental wellness really does matter. Don't be out here in the gym 24/7 and not taking care of your own emotional well-being. Okay? Have a great day. Have a great night. Well, goodbye, guys. See you later.